Good morning, fam. How are we doing today? Doing good. Good to see you. Glad you're here. I was sitting back there and I'm so thankful for just these quiet moments of prayer that we get. I don't know about you, but in like a week of busy, a week of crazy, a week of constant going, sometimes it's just really nice to just sit and be still and be calm and not worry yourself. And so I felt that. I hope you felt that. If not, I'm praying that over you right now, that you will feel that in your life. Well, we kicked off this series, The Struggle Bus, last week, and I'm excited about where we're going and what we're going to tackle. And last week, I shared with you, it was about six or seven different things that I pulled from the prayers throughout the year that kind of showcased the struggles, the ones that are, you know, very, very prevalent in our church, and it listed down. And what I want to do over the remaining weeks is kind of just address those a little bit more specifically. I know I gave you a broad view of it last week and what we're going after, but I want to drill down now into each one of those and help us kind of work through those struggles if we are experiencing them in our life right now. So what I want to do this week is I'm going to combine a few that kind of go hand in hand. And so there were three of them on there. The first one is the main one. You can go and put those up there. This was the overall one. It was the emotional. It's supposed to say struggles, but it says emotional, and sometimes we get that way. So anyway, the emotional, amen? Okay, and so anxiety, depression, burnout, emotional fatigue, mental strain, I'm exhausted, ready to give up, struggling to hold together. This was the most prevalent one. And so this is one I said, we got to talk about that. How can we drill down into that? How can we come alongside and help support that? And then we get into spiritual fatigue that often comes out of those things, or when we have spiritual fatigue, it either leads to emotional struggles or emotional struggles lead to spiritual fatigue, and you see what kind of takes place there. And then, again, both of those two things often lead to relational isolation. We struggle, we feel fatigued, we feel burnt out, and what we tend to do is we push away. And so I'm reading through these and through some of these other things, and I go, what's the remedy, right? What do we do to fix this? What do we do to come alongside this? What can we prescribe to help alleviate these things? And you know, maybe it's just rest. Maybe you need to sleep more. Maybe you need to sleep less. I don't know. Maybe it's a vacation. A snack? Yeah, man. You never know. Could just be hangry. Maybe it's medication. Or maybe it's you put your time into some kind of hobby or activity for escape. And we could do that, and we could continue to prescribe those things, but I go, well, that may temporarily alleviate the struggles, right? You're going to need a Snickers again in a few hours. Am I right? Yeah. Anyway, anyone? No? Okay. I tried. But it may alleviate the struggles just temporarily. But are those remedies going to help you in overcoming the emotional struggle, the spiritual fatigue, or the relational isolation? I believe there's going to be times where we will benefit from extended solitude. We talked about solitude versus isolation, and those are going to be moments where we're going to need to enter into moments of solitude. But here's what I'll say. If we want to continually combat the emotional struggles, the spiritual fatigue, the relational isolation, we're going to need daily doses of support, daily doses of encouragement, daily doses of connection. It's not the opposite. I think, again, sometimes we tend to withdraw in these moments when we're dealing with these things. And what I'm going to share with you today is that instead of the withdrawal, we press in. Again, I stated last week, in the struggles, we tend to disconnect and step back instead of pressing in to connect. And there's many reasons why we do this based on what we're going through. It could be fear. Maybe we don't want to become a burden to somebody else. Or maybe we feel like we might be a burden to someone else. Maybe if we share what's happening, we'll be held accountable to what led it to happen. Maybe we don't want to hear the hard truth. Like, we know what needs to be done, but we don't want to hear it. Or maybe there's shame that comes with it. Maybe there's embarrassment. Or maybe you've gone through a phase and a season where you were vulnerable, where you were honest, and it led to you experiencing some church hurt in your life. And so now you've got your walls up, and you've got your barriers up, saying, I'm not gonna put myself in a position to be hurt like that again. You know, the truth of the matter is, within every church, you're going to find struggles. I don't care what church you go to. I don't care how perfect it looks from the outside. It doesn't matter. You're going to find struggles. You want to know why? Because sin is there. And we as people are sinful. And so within the church, you'll find struggles. But I think more importantly, within the church, you will find the best remedies to overcome the struggles. I believe that with my heart. I've seen that in my life. I've watched people go through this, and I've helped them come through this. So, and here's what I'll say. And here's why I say I've seen it in my own life, but I've also been able to read it in God's word, because just as we struggle today, so did the early church. Even mighty men like the Apostle Paul, you know, who wrote a majority of the New Testament, he dealt with struggle. And I look at these stories, and I look at what I've been through, and I look at what others are going through, and what we're able to learn from the stories of the Bible is how we can lean into them instead of trying to run from them. Now, when we go back to, Apostle Paul, the early church, they didn't ride the struggle bus. Maybe it was like a struggle caravan. I don't know. A struggle horse. Struggle donkey. I don't know. Whatever. Maybe. They were struggling, right? Regardless of the mode of transportation, they had the same struggles. And I kind of want to just kind of paraphrase this story for you. You guys can throw that scripture up and just leave it up. I'm going to talk through it. You're welcome to read it. I'm just going to talk through kind of what went down between Paul, Barnabas, and John Mark. So between Acts 12 and 15, you find Paul, Barnabas, and John Mark traveling together in what looks like a long stretch of emotional struggle and spiritual fatigue and relational isolation. At first, everything's promising, right? Barnabas and Paul just finished doing some missions work in Jerusalem. And after that, they bring John Mark alongside with them. We see that in Acts 12, 25. He becomes their young assistant who is eager and full of faith. And when they reach the next destination in Cyprus, he begins to serve faithfully as their helper, and he's preaching alongside them in Acts 13, 5. The journey continues, and the journey continues to prove difficult. When they reach their next destination, we find out in Acts 13, 13 that John Mark turns back. Now, scripture doesn't tell us why. We just get that little thing. John Mark decided to go a different way. But for whatever reason, man, this is something that was deeply disappointing to Paul and honestly left him feeling abandoned. And so time passes, and you read through Acts, and they kind of go their separate ways, and you don't see anything else from there. And then the team prepares for another mission, right? Barnabas reaches out to Paul and says, hey, we should bring John Mark with us. Let's give him another chance. Paul just flat out refuses. And this is in Acts 15. And you can see that. And Acts 15 tells us that this disagreement was so sharp that these close friends and ministry partners in this season, they part ways. Barnabas takes John Mark, sails for Cyprus. Paul takes Silas and heads in another direction. And I kind of give you this overview of this picture of ministry conflict, right? Good people, the same gospel message, different convictions, different burdens, different callings. Yet even here, God keeps working through their paths. And so we have Paul, we have Barnabas, we have John Mark, and they're working together, and they're serving side by side in ministry. And as they do, guess what happens? They experience emotional struggles and spiritual fatigue. And in a moment, they go through a time of relational disconnection from one another. In the midst of the struggle, just kind of laying this out, John Mark chooses to leave. In that moment, Paul chooses contention. And then what we see throughout this story is that Barnabas chooses compassion. He acts as a mediator between these two great men of faith. holding them both accountable to their actions, and keeping them committed to the friendship, to the relationship that God has brought together. And so we're thankful for Barnabas and what he did, but you add to that the grace and forgiveness that both John Mark and Paul had received from Jesus. And now we're going around and preaching about Jesus, so you got to bring that in to this story. And ultimately, what you're going to find at the end is this relational struggle ends in reconciliation. And so we fast forward a little bit, 2 Timothy 4:11, at the end of his life while he's in prison, the Apostle Paul, he specifically asks for John Mark, stating his fondness for him and showing us the reconciliation that took place. Now, it's one of those things like I'm so grateful and thankful for the Apostle Paul, for his wisdom, for his radical transformation, for the words that we get to the church, about the church, and for us as believers. But I think sometimes because the Apostle Paul is such a great man of faith, a hero of faith, we tend to look at him and go, man, Paul's perfect. Paul's not perfect. There's only one person who's perfect. His name is Jesus Christ. And so in this moment, it's easy for us to go, well, we read this story, and apparently John Mark's at fault because Paul can't be the one, right? It's like saying, like, the pastor can't be wrong because it's the pastor. False, right? Like, I can make mistakes just as any other pastor can make mistakes because I'm just as much a sinner as everybody else. And so in this, we're not sure. We could say John Mark was at fault, or we could look and say, you know what, Paul was just overreacting. Maybe it's a little bit of both. But I think in the midst of it, what we find is a real hero of faith in this story. It's Barnabas. In the midst of the struggle, what did he do? He exuded grace and compassion, seeking for reconciliation. And what we need to see in this struggle story to gain better perspective in our own is this. Paul's burden and calling were not the same as John Mark's. John Mark's spiritual fatigue, emotional struggles were not the same as Paul's. And you see, when a burden or calling is placed on our lives, it's important that we listen to the Holy Spirit, right? And we hear him through prayer, and we hear him through the word of God, and we absolutely hear him through other believers. So we must be just listening and discerning, right? We must prayerfully step into what God has burdened us with, as well as being willing to remove what God has called us to remove. And there will be seasons and there will be times when your burden and your calling align with others, and you seem to be going in the same direction and doing wonderful things and just living in great community and unity, but other times, that's not going to happen. Now, we saw that. Paul, Barnabas, John, Mark, they experienced great ministry success, and there was this friendship, and great ministry work was done. But there will also be times where the burdened, or we are burdened with just different callings, different convictions, or seasons where we need rest. And what I want to say is that it's unfair to expect others to share the same passion for those things at the same time that we do. And I think that's what we see playing out in this story between John, Mark, and Paul. They both love God, and they both believe in the mission of God, but their burden and calling was different. Their need for rest was different, and it's so important for us to recognize these things. So here's what I'll say. It's important to recognize the seasons that we are in and respond accordingly. It's as equally as important to recognize the seasons that other people are in and also respond accordingly. Does that make sense? Because we can't expect everyone to be in the same season that we are. We can't expect everyone to have the same passion or burden or calling that we do. If they do, awesome. If they don't, that's okay too. You see, the interaction between these two men was like, it's too vague to fully understand why John Mark left. I think that's done on purpose. We don't need to get mired into their details and maybe it would have led to gossip. I don't know. But it's so vague. But I think in alignment with our series, I'm going, well, maybe, just maybe, John Mark's check engine light came on. You know what I'm saying? Like the bus wasn't doing good. His own personal bus. And he was fatigued. And he was homesick. And he lost his passion. maybe, I don't know, it's just he was called to a different assignment. He got called back to Jerusalem. We don't know. But I'll say, like many of us, what is he dealing with? Emotional struggle? Possibly. Spiritual fatigue? Maybe. Did a relational isolation come from that? Yes. And for us, maybe our check engine light is on. And it'll happen for varying reasons and varying seasons. Maybe we're lacking connectivity and we need it. Maybe we're in a time of turmoil and tension and we just need fun and laughter. Maybe we've entered into a season where we are seeking and desiring spiritual renewal. Or maybe we've been called and burdened with spiritual leadership and serving others. Here's what I'll say. When the check engine light comes on, what do? We take it to get diagnosed. Now we can go buy one of those things on the internet and just plug it in and go, oh, okay, cool. But either way, we're trying to figure out, okay, what's the problem? And then once we figure out what the problem is, regardless of cost, right? We say, let's remedy this, whether it's resources, whether it's time, whether it's our activities, whether it's work. Let's remedy this. We do what is needed to remedy the problem. And what I want to say is this. The path to emotional and spiritual and relational renewal is continual community engagement. It's continuing to stay connected. It's continuing to press in so that others can come alongside us and help us in the things that are happening in our lives. I can't even tell you how many times my check engine light has come on. And I'm so thankful for the people that God has put into our church, because while I can figure out the problem, I can't fix it all the time, right? And so I call somebody who has the knowledge. And what they'll do is they'll come and they'll help me fix it, or they'll show me how to fix it, and then I then have that knowledge for next time. And that's open. And I think that the same is true in our lives. Like, it's not, I'm going through this, I'm struggling with this, and I don't want to burden people, I'm shameful, I don't want them. No, bring people alongside you so that you can get through whatever you're going through, and next time when it comes up, you'll have the tools required to get through it again. And then you can help others do it again and again and again and again. Here's what I'll say. In some seasons, we engage, continually engage, by serving and leading. And what we're doing in those moments is we are pouring into others and we are feeding others, whether it's spiritual, emotional, whatever it may be. We are in this season where our engagement is pouring out into others. But there are other seasons. You don't want to know how we engage? We allow others to pour into us. We allow others to serve us, to feed us, to come alongside us. And I think oftentimes we are sometimes, not maybe not often, but sometimes we're more inclined to help others than to ask others for help when we need it. And I think this is so important, so we got to stay engaged. But what I believe we must cling to is this: continual engagement and connection regardless of our struggles, regardless of what we're going to, right? We're talking about remedies. And like, if you're going through something, it's not going to be one meeting, one prayer, one therapy session. No, it's going to be many deposits of encouragement, of joy, of laughter, of prayer, of serving, of being served, of connectivity. And you do it again and again and again. When tension and conflict and struggle and difficulty arise, we work through those things again and again and again. Listen, a great inhibitor to church connection is often our unwillingness to engage and stay engaged when we're struggling. Again, we push away, and here's what I'll say to that. The less engaged you are, the more distant and discouraged you will become. The more engaged you are, it's the exact opposite, the more connected and encouraged you will become. And the reason why is because the church is a place of discipleship. And when you think about discipleship, what it is people coming together to help one another go through what they're going through so that they can be more like Jesus. It's a place of discipleship. And as a place of discipleship, it takes place when people are willing to stay committed amid conflict, tension, and struggle. Mature Jesus followers stick around to mend any damage that conflict, tension, or struggle may have done. You show me a church that disagrees from time to time and sticks around to hug it out, I'll show you a church full of mature believers. You show me a church where not everyone's needs are met all the time, and yet those who struggle patiently wait on the Lord to provide through his people, and I'll show you a church that is full of mature believers. You show me a church where funds, community, and volunteers are struggling, and yet people continue to get up and fill in the gaps, and I'll show you a church that is full of mature believers. On the other hand, show me a church that doesn't struggle. Everything looks perfect and polished, and everyone is always in agreement, and you're looking at a church that's pretending. That is a surface level faith community that's forgotten how to wrestle, repent, and grow together. Listen, the church is full of sinful people. And sinful people struggle, and sinful people make a mess of things. And it's the mature Jesus followers who stick around through the mess and through the struggle. And because they are standing shoulder to shoulder in the struggle, guess what? Their relationships grow stronger with each other. Their relationships with God grow deeper. And the church community matures, coming to completion in the hope and joy and reconciliation that is found in Jesus Christ. That's the church that we want to strive to be. And it's so easy to sit on the sidewalk and just judge the bus as it's driving by, isn't it? And just to point a finger and look and go, yeah, they're not doing this right, and I wish they'd do that right, and oh, they let those people in, and I can't believe they said that, did that, put their money there. It's so easy to sit and judge on the sidewalk. It's a lot harder to enter into that chaos. It's a lot harder to enter into the struggle, to get involved, to find ways to support, to encourage, to come alongside others. You know, being in ministry, and as long as I have, there's a pattern that I've seen. Many people often expect to be seen, be heard, be known, be cared for, without reciprocating it back. We'll say things like this: see me, hear me, care for me, but don't expect me to do the same for you. It becomes a very inward-focused, selfish-focused thing. And often those who spend time complaining about how things are done or how things aren't done in the church, they aren't willing to make the sacrifice to fill in the gaps that are needed. They'll complain, they'll gossip, they'll talk bad about it, and when nothing's done, you know what they do? They go to the next church and they do the same thing there. They're not willing to actually be a part of the solution or the remedy that God is calling them to in that moment. Any negative conversations that starts with, well, why doesn't the church do fill in the blank? You know what I'll say to that? If God has placed that burden on your heart, what are you personally doing about it? What are you going to do about it? At the end, because if you're willing to pray about that and talk about that and get up in arms about that, then apparently God's going to you, this is a need that I have created for you to fill. Are you going to enter into it, or just talk about someone else doing what's needed? And you hear things like, oh, the church needs more options for families. Start a family crew. The church needs more events for women. Start a women's crew. The church needs more weeknight gatherings. Start leading a crew. The church needs more fun, activity-based events. Lead one. And if you're out there saying, I wish the church had this, clearly that is something that you want in your life and that you can bless others with. What are you personally doing about it? Listen, you can sit around and wait for the church to fill the need that you've been burdened with, or you can step up and have the church partner with you to fill the burden that God has put on your life. Because here's what the church is here for. Ready? To empower you and equip you to step into the burden that God has placed on your life. Now, could you imagine If we as a staff attempted to meet every burden, appease every desire, you know, we would be over-programmed, we would be overworked, we would be under-resourced, nothing would be done to the excellence that it needed to be done, and I think the main thing is we would be trying to operate in a burden and calling that is not our own. There's this expectation of passion and fervor for something that I haven't been burdened with. And people are going, well, why don't you do that? It's not my calling. You do it. I'm living in my calling. And I'm trying to help you step into yours. What are you going to do about it? I think it's so important that we see this. We want to come alongside as many people as we can. We want to help people in their struggles, in their fatigue, in their isolation. But guess what? In order to do that, we need other people to come alongside us who are willing to get uncomfortable, to make sacrifices, and create more spaces for community healing and renewal to take place. It's not just about riding the bus. Sometimes the answer is for you to begin to drive a bus of your own. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying start another church. But maybe you can get a group of people together and you can do something with them and you can lead them. Give up a night of your week. Open your home. Take meals to people. Serve others so they can get a break. You know, in our struggles, yes, it's hard to model this. It's hard to make this happen. And honestly, we can't accomplish it alone. None of us can. And we need to rely on the Holy Spirit and we need to rely on the grace of God and the people of God. And I think as you bring in to view the Father's love and grace and patience and forgiveness towards us, like, it gives us perspective on the times that we've been in conflict, tension, or struggle with God due to our disobedience, due to our sin, due to our waywardness. Oftentimes, our plans, our feelings, our desires run opposite to God's plan and God's will. And what's he do? He graciously guides us, and he continues to communicate with us. And I think this perspective of what God has done for us and continues to offer to us is something that we need to look at and then begin to model out to others. Let me say it like this. We have to learn to handle the blunders, the blind sides, and the backhanded comments from others the same way that God handles them from us. Do you understand? And sometimes, we just aren't willing to offer that kind of grace and forgiveness. God gives it to us again and again and again, and we're so thankful that he loves us, cares for us in spite of us, right? The amount of times that we've run from him, that we've been disobedient, and still, he's there to love us, to care for us, to guide us. That is what we're called to do for each other. When struggle happens, when conflict arises, when there's tension, then we don't disconnect, we don't disengage, we press in. Because it's in the midst of these trials and these tribulations that we grow stronger and we do it together. I know I've covered a lot, and I'll go back like we're trying to answer this question. How do we remedy emotional struggles, spiritual fatigue, and the relational isolation that comes along with it? Here's what I'll say, simply. Start with small, consistent commitments to this church community. Start serving. Start engaging in various ways. At church, commit to serving in kids or youth. Commit to serving coffee or donuts or manning a camera. Commit to praying for others. Greeting others. Maybe it's attending or leading a crew. I don't know. Throughout the week, commit to a morning, a day, or a night with others. Commit to meeting up for breakfast, lunch, dinner. Commit to having a Bible study or a time of prayer or just a hangout. Commit. And then once you commit, stay committed. And I'll add this too, like, if you want to be able to do this with people, man, you gotta take the step to create relationships with people. I can't force you into relationships. I can't force you to attend a crew. I can't force you to serve. But if you're really here to connect with God, you're going to have to take some steps to connect with his people. Because he put them here for you, and for you to grow, and for you to be challenged, for you to have accountability. And so I think it's important that we step into these things. And you look at the list I just gave you, and guess what? They're all others focused, right? It's us going like this and pouring out. And I know sometimes, again, we're going through seasons of struggle and turmoil and all those things. It's hard to think about adding one more thing. But as you begin to serve others and help others, guess what you're going to get back? You will be blessed by it. And who knows, you may gain a best friend, a lifelong friend, someone you know has your back no matter what. This past week, I got the opportunity to lead a chapel at Winter Haven Christian School, and I shared with them one of my favorite verses. And I think it applies here. In Philippians 2, 3 through 4, it says, "In humility, consider others more important than yourself. Everyone should look out not only for his own interest, but also the interest of others." And I think you could just add struggles in there. It's the wrong verse, but that's okay. That's just verse 3. When I look at Philippians 2, 3, and 4, like putting the interest of others before ourselves, serving others in humility, I go, the church needs more of this. And let me just be honest, it's not just our church. Every church needs this. Every Jesus follower needs to live by this. Again, what I've been talking about, like in our struggles, like I think it's easy to become selfish when we struggle. I think it's easy to just focus inward when we're experiencing fatigue. But the inward focus and the selfishness, those responses, if you continue to operate that way, are going to lead you to relational isolation. And it's not going to be a fix to your problem. It's not going to be a fix to your struggle. It's not going to help you get through what you're going through. It's just going to make matters worse. And you got to understand, like the enemy wants you to stay overwhelmed. The enemy wants you to stay connected through the struggles. And here's why. He knows the more engaged you are, the more connected you are, the more involved you are, the more renewed you'll be, the more prayers you'll receive, the more encouragement you will feel. Listen, if you want your joy back, if you want your peace back, it's not going to happen while you struggle in isolation. You need to press in. These struggles, whatever you're going through, whatever you're experiencing, they will just continue to grow outside of community. And the opposite is the same. The struggles you're going through, the fatigue, right, the turmoil, those struggles will shrink within community. And you just begin to change your perspective. You begin to change how you look at it. You begin to change how you react to it. You begin to change how you remedy it. Press into the church. Press into being around other people and allowing them to come alongside you. Don't give your struggle more power and control than it deserves. Don't let it determine your engagement. And don't let it fracture your relationships. That's what the enemy wants. God wants connection, support, and renewal in your life. And it happens when we press in more and disengage less. Church, would you pray with me? God, in the midst of the things that we go through, oftentimes we carry the burden alone. We try to fix the problem alone. We don't want people to know what we're going through. Maybe that's based on fear. Maybe that's based on shame. Maybe that's just because we feel bad for being a burden on others. God, I know this, that all too many people believe the lie of the enemy that says, step away, disconnect, and everything will get better. but that is a lie. While there are moments and seasons of solitude, the best way to find healing is in a community of believers that is looking to be more like your son, Jesus. Where there is grace, and there is forgiveness, and there is joy, and there's patience, and there's understanding, and people just to listen to the things that we're going through. And sometimes that's all it takes. God, my prayer for our church that I know is dealing with stuff, that I know is struggling, I pray right now, God, that they would press in. Press into community. Press into deeper relationships. Press into accountability. God, that they would remove the burden and the weight of the struggle from their own life, and they would place it on the church, and in turn place it upon your son, Jesus. We all struggle, but we don't have to struggle alone. Whatever you're going through today, whatever you're dealing with today, and I pray more than anything that you would understand that as a church, we want to go through it with you. And there are people right here in the seats next to you and around you that are serving in areas in the church that are put here for the very reason of connecting with you to help you go through the struggle that you're dealing with. Don't miss an opportunity for that relationship to bring healing and renewal in your life. God, I thank you for showing us this struggle between Paul and John Mark. It just gives us perspective that no matter what capacities we are serving at or leading at, we all go through emotional struggles, spiritual fatigue, and sometimes relational isolation. Thank you for allowing us to learn from these men of faith. May we hear these things and begin to apply these things to our lives right here in this church community. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.